Hello there, and welcome to Relationship Revelations. I'm Sheila Grace Harvey, and it's kind of a bit cold and wet here in Wellington, New Zealand, where I am at present, but I'm bringing you warm greetings. So wherever you are, I hope you're having a lovely, relaxing time, and we're going to be talking about a few things today. I'm wanting to talk a little bit about what makes a spiritual warrior, and really... At the moment, I'm getting that a lot of people, including myself, there's a lot going on the planet at the moment. And, I mean, I've even noticed my lovely little black cat, who's my next-door neighbor's cat, they're actually away, and she's been coming in more, and she's been needy and wanting more cuddles and meowing more and kind of wanting to talk more. And I'm thinking, she just wants a little bit of love and affection, and I'm sure that that is true for a lot of us. That there are times when we're going through some difficult times and we just want a little bit of love and a little bit of support from our friends and the people around us. So, you know, what do we do when we're really challenged? I mean, we look at life sometimes and, you know, how is your life? Is it the way you would like it to be? So often we think back to when we were younger and what we wanted to be, and we look at the different things that we do in our lives, and then we kind of go, yeah, now where am I now and where am I going? And I think we've talked a lot before about, with a lot of new energies on the planet, it is an opportunity to really start going for the things that we'd really like to be doing, not the things we kind of have thought about for years and haven't done. I mean, have you got some of those things? What are the things you want to do? I mean, one of the things that I've noticed as I've traveled a lot, especially from spending so much time in Australia and now spending some time in New Zealand, the number of people that I have heard, oh, we really want to go to Australia, we really want to go to New Zealand. And I'm thinking, well, do it. Why don't you do it? It's not a really great idea to wait till, you know, till the end of your life and suddenly reflect back and think of all the things you didn't do. It's a wonderful opportunity right this minute. What's important to me? What does my heart want? What are the things that will bring me joy? What are the things that I've been telling myself that someday maybe I'll be able to do? Or if I can make more money here, then I can do this. It's like letting go of the considerations. And, you know, my life's a lot like that because I seem to, you know, people say, what's that old saying? Spirit says jump and you go how high? Well, I tend to go which country. I'm living now in my sort of fifth country that I've ever lived in, and there are times when I just get the call that I need to move and be somewhere else. So it's like, what do you do inside when you get that calling? Do we answer the call? Do we ignore it? And most of the time I have listened to the call, and occasionally I've ignored it, but I usually find that things don't seem to work out for me if I don't really listen to my heart and move forward and do the things that really I know that are in my best interest. And the truth is that if we get a calling or that intuition, you know, God knows better than we do. The sad thing is that most of us try to spend so much of our lives being in control and thinking we know how to do things. I remember a few years ago, I got my time system. You know, in the old days, we used to have these elaborate time systems with, you know, time designs and, you know, all these different things, and you transferred all these things over and you ticked them off and everything. And, you know, at one point I went, you know what, God, I kind of threw it up in the air, literally. It was kind of like a really good symbolic gesture and sort of said, well, you know, God, you know, I'm giving it up to you because somehow I think you know better how to run my life than I seem to be able to do. And I think that is a real key. How do we surrender up to God? How do we surrender up to the Christ? How do we surrender up to what is really for our highest good? Here we are, spiritual beings on the planet, having experiences. And I've got some quotes and some information here from John Roger. As you know, John Roger is my teacher, my spiritual teacher. And there is a fantastic set of books called Fulfilling Your Spiritual Promise, and it's got three volumes. And the reason why I love it is because it talks about so many things, from karma to the different realms of light. It just talks about initiations, and, you know, essentially it enables us to kind of have like a reference book. So if there are things that you're not very consciously aware of, and, you know, it took me a long time to sort of really understand a lot of this stuff, There are books and references that you can go, and you can also go onto msia.org because they have lots of wonderful books and things. And the reason why I'm going to read this is just because, you know, JR puts it so beautifully and I couldn't do it any better. So I'm going to let you hear it from the master himself. And this is a little bit about incarnation and how come we keep coming back so many times to this physical planet. It says the physical realm is unique in that when a soul incarnates on this level, it also has levels of consciousness that reflect the other lower realms, the unconscious, the mind, emotions, and the imagination. As the soul takes on these different aspects, which are all reflections of the negative realms, it remains as the one positive aspect amongst all the negative aspects. And there's a note here to say negative doesn't mean bad. It's just like if there is if you have a battery, it's got a positive and a negative polarity, and it needs both to work. So it's not good and bad, it's just negative and positive. The soul becomes the weakest part in the physical form because its job is to experience the lower realms through the physical form. This is what you, as the soul that you truly are doing here on Earth, gaining experience. Now, as a human, a soul starts by incarnating once onto the physical realm, into a physical form. Any future times it comes here are more accurately called embodiments. If that first form could walk through its life here in perfect balance, creating only peace, love, and harmony, it might complete and free itself from this realm and earn the opportunity to continue its evolvement on higher realms. But when the soul incarnates into a physical form, it is usually the inexperienced in the ways of the world. The consciousness sees all the glamour, the illusions, attractions, and pleasures of the world, and it gets sidetracked. But even though the soul gets pulled into these things, they are all part of its learning. As the soul goes through its life plan, it is apt to create imbalance. Then when the time comes for the physical body to die, there are often karmic situations that have not been cleared or balanced. Thus, the soul, at a later time, embodies again onto the physical realm so that it can clear its debts, right the wrongs, and bring balance and harmony. But if the consciousness again gets caught up in the illusions and the glamour, it may end up creating more karmic situations so that the soul must again embody to clear them, and so on, and so on. At some point, the consciousness will come into an understanding of this whole process. It will learn to be a responsible creator and to place its value and its concern on those things that are positive and spiritual in nature rather than on the materiality of this world. In this way, the consciousness begins its evolution back towards God, fulfills its karma from the past, stays free of accruing more karma, and liberates itself from this world. It is everyone's heritage, it is your heritage, to know the divine nature, to experience the joy, freedom, and the perfection of the soul. I'm going to continue here with the decisions you make before incarnations, because what a lot of people are not always aware of is the fact that we choose our parents, we choose our circumstances and our situation when we come into this planet. And I know a lot of us have probably said, oh gosh, if I'd have known, I would have picked a different set of parents, one with more money or a different location. Well, we might think that down here, but when we're actually up in soul making those decisions, things look very, very different. So before you, the soul, incarnate on the planet, you are in consciousness on some other realm and you are living another existence. But for whatever reason, it becomes time for you to incarnate on the physical realm. Keep in mind that it is the nature of the soul to experience all levels and conditions of God. Thus, the earth experience is part of the soul's evolution into the greater consciousness of God. Before you incarnate or re-embody, you as the soul meet with the High Self and the Karmic Board, karmic counselors or masters who have access to the Akashic Records, where everything you, the soul, has ever done is recorded. You all meet to plan your life on the planet within high degrees of possibility and probability. At this time of planning, you choose such things as your parents, the talents and abilities you will have, the challenges and situations you need to face, and so on. You choose those things that you and the karmic counselors decide will be best for you to further your spiritual progression. And that is a big key to understanding this life. You choose it all. You also set up the situations that will bring you together with people and relationships that will give you the opportunity to fulfill karmic debts from your past existences. Then a basic self is chosen that can carry out this pattern. All this is usually done many years ahead of your incarnation, unless you are on a speed-up plan. It's interesting that a lot of the young people who were in the hippie movement in the 1960s were in World War II. They resented that war very much, and they were not about to go into a war again. They would tell you about the war and the horrors of it because it was fresh in their conscious memory. Within 24 hours after conception, the basic self will come in and start making the body of the child in the mother's womb, pulling together the essences from the chromosomes and genetic formation. Though it may seem to be random choice, it really is not. It is done through the spiritual essence. The chromosomes are brought together in the correct way, based on all the karmic paths physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, sexually, financially, and so on. It is all written through here. During gestation, as early from a month or two, but usually around the 7 months of pregnancy, the soul, high self, and conscious self will hover around the mother, and she may feel their presence with her. During this time, however, the basic self has total jurisdiction over the body of the fetus. It can abort the fetus or cause a miscarriage if it feels incompatible. If, for example, some newly created condition by the parents, particularly the mother, alters the original plan. The basic self is to have the experience just through gestation, the baby can be stillborn. At the time the body comes into the world, the soul breathes into it, and the soul and the conscious self enter the body. The first breath of life is infused with what we call the soul. This is the divine spark that comes into this temporal image that we are going to walk around with. At that point, the high self will usually anchor right nearby, hovering around the body. The soul usually comes into the body at birth, though it will sometimes come in only partly and hover nearby. In some cases, it might not come into the body until it is 6 or 7 years of age, but it would be nearby, and the basic self would be handling the things of the body and doing all the things that are necessary. Isn't that amazing? So it's a good opportunity, really, to reflect that if you kind of think, well, my life isn't the way that I want it to be, or I didn't choose to be born, or, you know, I had no choice in it, then you might want to kind of reconsider, because on some level there has definitely been that choice to come in and to choose the situation and the circumstances of which we can clear those patterns that we may have had imbalance with in previous existences. I find the easiest way to explain it is rather like a bank account. You're either in credit or debit. If you're in credit, you don't need to come back. You're clear. If you're in debit and there's that debt and there is something that's still owed, then it's about balancing that action up. So, and the key to breaking free is to love yourself and to love each experience that comes to you, whether it appears to be negative or positive. Just love it all equally. And some people actually think that, you know, incarnating back in the planet is actually a negative thing. But it isn't, because it's actually a very positive, progressive philosophy. So we get an additional chance so that we can, you know, learn soul transcendence, which is what MSI is about, and to be able to get her off the planet. And just reading again from it, he says, everyone, whether they realize it or not, is working for awareness of the inner consciousness, seeking first the kingdom of God within, and then seeking God in the outer reality. And everybody wants to reach heaven. But if you were told you were going to die in 2 weeks, you'd probably say, oh, no, God, I don't want to die. I want to stay in this misery. And with that attitude, you will, either now or later. So you must be extremely careful about how you place things towards yourself, because being a creator and having the divine essence within you, you will be held responsible, and that which you create will be returned to you. It is natural for the soul to incarnate onto the physical plane to gain experience, but it is the action of karma, the creation and the releasing of karma, that perpetuates the action of re-embodiment. Many people have lived hundreds of lives on Earth and are still attempting to gain an understanding of karma so they can release themselves from the cycle of incarnation, realize the freedom of their soul, transcend this realm, and know the higher realms. Through the teachings of the movement of spiritual inner awareness, you can end the incarnation cycle, which is really wonderful. And a quote here says, it takes great courage to see the face of God. The face of God lies on the other side of all the illusions of the physical, imaginative, emotional, mental, and unconscious worlds. The way to the other side is through all of that. With the grace of the traveler, you can tap into the consciousness of the soul and use that higher perspective to guide your way so that you do not get trapped once again in the highways and byways of the lower world. Which is really what we're doing. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the traveler, that's just a term that is used for the kind of the energy that initially John Roger, who was the traveler that I first worked with, and now John Morton, who is also doing the work of the traveler. And the reason why they kind of call it the traveler is if they called it the Christ consciousness or something else, that people have a familiarity with the term. It basically means that people have an opinion, and it could be positive, negative, it could be inaccurate, accurate. So the whole idea of the traveler is it's a term that really, unless you go within and experience for yourself, you are not going to know what that means. So it really is about going within. So as I've done meditations each week, if you felt comfortable with those, and we'll do another one today, that gives you an idea of that kind of energy of the traveler coming through so that you can see if that's something that resonates with you. And, you know, as Christ is the kind of the master teacher on the planet, you know, all of us who are doing the work, whether it's through the traveler or whoever, it is still doing the work of the Christ. So when we come in to the planet, so we pick our parents, we're here for, you know, specific karmic lessons that we need to learn. And we have personal karma. We've got family karma, so we're placed with a family that will assist us with that. We also have karma where we're living, so the country karma. We have world karma. So, you know, there's plenty to keep us occupied while we're here. And when you think that we come in as a kind of a really gorgeous, lovely, unconditional, loving being, and then we have all this karma, and then we have all the experiences as we are younger growing up, and all the fears that we end up attracting to ourselves, and beliefs and limiting beliefs and expressions that we pick up from people. We have bad habits that we pick up. When you think about all of that and the fact that we're kind of walking around and living our lives as well as we are, I think that's quite a miracle, really. I think we just need to sometimes give ourselves a bit of a pat on the back and recognize that we're really doing a great job. And as we do know better, then we do better. And I think that's pretty true of humankind. I think as we know better, we do better. And I don't think any parent deliberately takes a child and thinks, how can I ruin this kid's life when they're born? I think all parents want to do the best they can. And I know that some people who've had some pretty awful experiences, it still doesn't mean that the parent wasn't doing the best they knew how with their limited ability that they have. So, I think it's good just to reflect sometimes on some of the good things we do and some of the things that we've done well, and to focus more on what we'd like to create more of in our lives, because what we focus on, we keep creating. And, you know, really, how do we kind of let go of some of the things that don't work for us? Sometimes it can be quite challenging when we're going through something to kind of come into the awareness and be able to let go and be able to come back into the loving, which of course is what we really want to be doing. And I've got some more quotes here. John Roger wrote a book called The Way Out book, which is really lovely, and it's about bringing all things present. He says there are a lot of ways to dismiss the past. One way is to say, I didn't know what was going on then. That doesn't excuse you from anything, but it may help take a little of the pressure off. Another way is to remember that from where you are in this moment, in this time and space, you are doing the best that you know how to do. If you could do better in this moment, you would do better. If you were not doing so well, something is not allowing you to see completely your ability to do better. Something is blocking you. That doesn't excuse you either, but it might allow you to be a little easier on yourself. Don't sit in judgment of your own lack of awareness or anyone else's. The action of judging demonstrates lack of awareness. When you judge, you must label and pigeonhole. Then you nail the judgment down to make sure it will hold all the time. To do that, you have to extend yourself beyond your energy field, beyond your state of being, and you are then in a state of upset and imbalance. When you extend beyond the limits of your awareness, you throw off yourself off balance. I'll just repeat that. When you extend beyond the limits of your awareness, you throw yourself off balance and must seek to get back to where you are anchored on this plane. When you were born onto this earth, you received your physical initiation. Nothing more was required to establish yourself here. You are here. You have empirical evidence. You have a body. You have emotions and a mind. These are all elements of the earth, elements of the physical consciousness. These earthly elements are always due for change. So it behoves you to keep in the consciousness of change, in the consciousness of now, in the consciousness of the spirit. Those things that you did yesterday are of yesterday. Today is a new day. And as you allow it, spirit creates all things new for you each day. And to accomplish living in the now, you hold the emotions in an up consciousness. Keep the mind focused on completion in the present moment and keep the body healthy and able to hold the energy of spirit. When you can do this, the consciousness expands to greater capabilities. Then comes the responsibility of holding your energies more in that greater field. And of course, your reward is the ability to do more. You become very competent with the ability to expand your consciousness and the responsibility to keep those energies flowing in the present. Then you move past the state of competence into the state of mastership, which encompasses all the levels from beginning to end. And still, you must now keep your energies flowing within the consciousness of now, which is both the beginning and the end, as well as all the moments in between. So you can program yourself. Suggest to yourself all the right and necessary and good things that you want manifest right now in yourself. You do it in this moment. You program what is right for you in this moment. If it changes tomorrow, then change to match it. There's nothing dishonorable about change. It's an aspect of Earth. You may not know what will happen tomorrow or a year from now or 10 years from now. In this loving eternity of time, you learn to make each decision based upon now, and if that changes, you flow with the change. There are no catastrophes, only what appears to be catastrophes in the eye of the beholder. It is in the wisdom of experience that you are gaining here on the earth plane, and then you transfer that wisdom from point to point in this world. If other people share their experiences with you and you learn from them, you can probably cut down the time you have to sit on the borders of fear and doubt and can more quickly discover the center of your beingness and reside in the presence and joy of the spirit. Finding this state of being can bring you a fulfillment and a joy greater than you have ever known on this earth. It transcends all the levels of mind, emotions, and body, and reaches to the inner kingdom, wherein resides all peace and joy and love. Wow. So, one of the things that I've experienced quite a lot, though, as I let things go is sometimes I haven't always known what it is at the time, but sometimes I feel like I feel sad, I feel like I want to cry. And, you know, this is kind of a natural thing as we kind of let go of things, let go of maybe some of the dreams we have that we realize that, you know, are not really in line with what we want. When we let go of people, you know, it could have been people who've passed on, could be a breakup of a relationship, a divorce. When we, you know, lose something like a house burns down or, you know, we lose our possessions or something happens. You know, there are a lot of things that continually do happen to us in life. There is a lot of just constantly letting go and letting go. And in order to bring the new in, we do need to let that go. And, loving comes in when we register sort of grief as a completion. It just brings us into that greater level of loving and peace. So, just be mindful that as you are kind of letting go, sometimes it's a decision we consciously make. Sometimes it's something that we feel has happened to us, or we haven't had a lot of say in it, but, our level of control in that is the way that we relate to it, our levels of acceptance, our levels of what we choose to do with that. So be aware of the grief process. And, I remember a number of years ago, something came up about, I think I was listening actually to a JR tape, and he was talking about grieving and grandparents, and I had realized that I had never actually grieved for my grandparents. My grandmother died when I was only 7, and I was really quite young, so I didn't know. And then when I was about, must have been about 12, I was younger than that, I think I was about 11 or 12. I do remember it because there was a test. And for those of you, who remember your school days quite vividly, it always seemed to me that there was always a test. It can't have been, but it always felt like it. And there was going to be a test, and I didn't feel I was terribly well prepared for it. And the teacher called me forward and said, oh, the headmistress wants to see you. And the first, of course, reaction is, oh, my God, what have I done wrong? Because that's where my consciousness at the time was. My low self-esteem always thought I'd done something wrong. And I remember sitting in the headmistress's office, Miss Scargill, God bless her. And she said, she had to let me know that my grandfather had died. And I have to be honest, my first reaction was, oh, thank God, I don't have to take that test. She's not going to send me right back in the room, which, of course, she didn't. And I was still at that age, really, where I was still quite young enough. I was quite a young 11, 12-year-old that I really didn't get the impact of it. And I don't think sometimes we do with death. I'd never had a real experience of death that had touched me in a way that I really understood it. And so many years later, I remember listening to John Roger, and he was talking about grieving and grandparents. And I suddenly had this moment, and I thought, you know what? I have never grieved for my grandparents. And I thought, I can do it right this minute. So I just called in the light for the highest good and just asked, at that moment that I could touch into my grandfather and my grandmother. And that if there was any levels inside me that hadn't grieved for them and hadn't kind of completed with them on that level, that I just asked that that could be brought forward under the grace with ease so that that could happen. And I remember tears came up as I remembered them. And I also remember that it didn't take very long. It was just like a conscious decision to come into the loving, to clear through the grief, and to let it go. And then I just, placed them both in the hands of the Christ and asked the Christ to take care of them, asked for grace and ease for them on their journey on the other side, and any healing or anything that could assist them to take place. I asked for that loving to be present with them. And this is something that you can do with anyone who's passed over. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who had this incredible realization about her mother, who she had blamed for so many things, and she realized that the blame, that wasn't an accurate assessment of what was really going on, and it's taken her quite some time to get to that place. And she was like, I wish I could talk to my mother. And I said, you can go into your heart and you can talk to your mother. We can all go into our hearts and talk to those people who have left, because they never leave. They're still part of us. And on that spiritual level, we are all connected. We are all one. So, if there are people or things in your life that you feel are incomplete, you can just call in the light for the highest good and bring whatever that situation is forward for you, whoever the people are forward for you. If you have resentments against people, you can maybe just ask that be lifted under grace, because, it was ask. And you shall be given. And I've heard often J.R. say, you receive not because you ask not. So ask. ask for the blessings, ask for the grace. It's always available to us, but we need to ask for it. The light doesn't inflict where it's not invited, and spirit cannot come in and assist us if we don't ask for help, which is why, you know, people always used to do prayers, you know, in gratitude for their day maybe and asking for what they need. And it's always available. So it's a good idea to really complete things of the past. And one of the things that I have experienced through working with John Ronter and John Morton and working with the Traveler is that, you know, we have the level here where the 10% is like the physical level, and then we have like 90%, which is the spiritual levels. We only really need to deal with the 10% level. Our job here is to really focus on completing here, staying in our loving here, and just handling what's in front of us, and really living our life as the spiritual beings that we are. And spirit handles the rest. And we can consciously just ask the grace. And often what I have found by working with the Travelers, John Roger and John Morton, is that we can often clear things in the dream state instead of having to actually handle things down here. So when we're talking about the karmic conditions and we're talking about the things that we're completing, when you work with a master teacher, and what we're talking about is soul transcendence, there are levels of initiation. We're talking about actually working through the various levels of initiation to the soul realm, which is the first positive realm of light. So as we talked earlier, the lower levels, like the physical, astral, causal, mental, the etheric, which is the unconscious, are the negative realms. And then the soul is the first positive realm of light. And then that's 27 levels up into the God consciousness. So you can actually consciously work with, if it's your path this lifetime, with a soul transcendence master. And John Roger and John Morton are not the only ones. There are other masters on the planet. And the wonderful thing is that if you are looking for something more, you know, it isn't always what I'm talking about that you need. It's like finding your path. The journey of the soul is very individual. With about 6 billion souls on the planet at the moment, you know, there are many, many ways back home to God. And it's finding what's true for you, what your path is. And what I find is it doesn't matter who I listen to, whether I, you know, listen to Sai Baba, whether I listen to the channeling of Abraham. It doesn't really matter, because the truth is, in spirit, all these spiritual and wonderful masters on the planet are all here to assist us back home to God. And they're helping us on the level that we're at. And that's what's really important, that we find who resonates to us and to our particular vibration, so that we can get the information and the tools and the assistance that we need to get us back home to the heart of God. Now, the reason why I was always attracted to John Roger, of course, is because he has a wicked sense of humor. And I've always loved that. And that humor, I think, is just one of the saving graces on the planet. And I'm very grateful that I've got a great sense of humor. And more importantly, that I can laugh at myself. And with the life that I've had and the challenges that I've dealt with, I have to tell you, it is just as well that I can laugh at myself and my situation. And that is a key. How can we find that lightness, that humor, that joy, even though things can be a little difficult for us at times? And let's face it, I don't know anybody that I speak to that doesn't have their fair of challenges. And we always like to think that ours are obviously bigger and better than everybody else's, a little bit like my operation scars bigger than yours, whatever. But the reality is, you know, we're all different and we all handle things in different ways, but that we all get challenged to the level that we're able to handle it. And, you know, spirit keeps bringing forward through our high self those opportunities for us to clean up our next little bit of karma. And we have a choice level. So sometimes we go, we're not ready for that. We push it down. Then it might come back up a little later. So if you start looking at some of the things that happen in your life, you might start noting some familiar patterns. And one of the things that I tend to do when something shows up for me and I get upset or angry, that they're indicators that I'm out of balance, that I'm not in my center, then what I do is, if I can, I do things to try and come back into a greater balance, whether that is free-form writing, which is a key that John Roger talks about. And I think last week I gave some more information on that. Or sometimes I do some meditation to see if I can get myself in a little bit more balance and release some of that emotion. And then I usually ask myself this question: is this feeling familiar to me? And the reason I ask that is because if it's a familiar feeling, or is this situation seem familiar to me, then it gives me an indication that I may want to look at the source of when this first came up for me, if I can remember, because a lot of things are obviously from our childhood. And we keep recreating similar situations in order that we can actually heal and let go of whatever that was that we created. So by asking ourselves those questions, we get to really look at the honesty of what's going on. Because often, somebody has just brought forward something to us for us to look at. And if we can go into that honesty, and that quote that I gave you earlier, it takes tremendous courage to see the face of God. Because we're all God. We're not the God, God Almighty, but we're all part of God. And in order for us to be part of God and to come into that oneness, then we need to be able to look at ourselves, warts and all, and say, okay, that's me. I can come into a level of acceptance. And within that acceptance is, and you know what? Maybe these couple of things here that I do, maybe it would be a good idea if I started looking at ways that I can do this differently. Maybe it would support me more if I wasn't gossiping. Maybe it would support me more if I was, being more honest. Maybe it would support me more if I didn't, eat as much sugar when I know that it doesn't really support my body. So we can all look at those different areas in ourselves and say, what can we do that supports us more? What can I do right now to support myself more? And it may be, what can I do this week that's going to support me, to assist me to come more on track? How do I look at myself through the eyes of the Master or the Christ, coming to greater levels of loving and forgiveness for myself, so that I'm able to let go of what's happened before and come into, how can I support and love myself? How can I be kind to myself? Because isn't that what we really want? I was going through some challenges this week, and a friend was really kind to me, and that really touched me. That's what we need. We need that kindness. We need that friendship. And sometimes if we don't have it in somebody physically, that to me is where we can go into spirit and ask for that assistance. Because I just go sometimes, Christ, help. I need some help right now. And to me, I have in myself, my God is one that is so huge and so benevolent. And it's like a loving father that loves me no matter what I've done. And that is really superb. It's not if I did things a certain way, not if I did things the right way, or not if I did things the way that I think they should be, but going to love me no matter what. And that's what we're looking for, more unconditionality. We want to be unconditionally loved, and we would love to be able to love more unconditionally. And to me, that comes from the soul, from the spirit. That comes from the Christ. And the Christ is, the greatest forgiver on the planet. So Christ is forgiveness. So we have there all we need to be able to let go, to be able to come into the light and the loving. So let's just go in and just do a little meditation here and just see if we can just come into greater peace and loving. So I'm going to call in the light now. So just close your eyes, take a breath, unless you're driving, and please don't do this if you're driving. Father, Mother God, we ask just now for your presence. We ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Christ to be with us. We ask that that pure Christed white light surround, fill, and enfold us with the loving. And we just ask at this time that the Christ assist us with releasing and surrendering up all those things that we have been holding inside that are of no longer any value to us. Letting go of the hurts, the disappointment. Just let them go. If you have parents or children or people who have died, just inside you, release them. Allow them to be free in spirit, knowing that the love connection can never, ever be broken, that is always present. And if there's anything you need to say to anyone, and it can even be somebody who's alive, you can just bring them forward into your heart right now. Just talk to them. And just let them know, I love you. And if there's any levels of things you're holding against them, it's I forgive you. I forgive myself for judging myself in relation to the way you brought me up, the things that I feel were unkind and hurtful. I forgive myself for judging myself, for resenting you, and then for anything, whatever it is that you think that they did. And just give it to the Christ within, that Christ that can take all your burdens, all your sorrows, all your heartache. That Christ that knows perfectly how to do that. You don't have to know, you just have to say, I let go. I give it up to the Christ, and I go free. And just allow that loving of the Christ to come present, just to fill you. Maybe just put your hands over your heart and just ask for that divine love to heal your body, heal your emotions, heal your mind. And know that only that which is for your highest good can take place, but that the Christ and God is merciful. You are a child of God, and you are loved. And it's important that you do know you are worthy of God's love. You are worthy to be loved and love. And right now, you can just send this light, loving, and peace and forgiveness out to all those people in your life. All those people that you know you're going to be seeing over the next week. Just send the light ahead of you. Place it between you and all the people you'll be meeting in situations, and just keep reminding yourself to put yourself in the light for the highest good, to assist you, keep you in the loving for any healing you need to take place. And we're just going to ask now that God and the Christ, we just ask for a blessing of grace, of ease, of joy, of lightness, healing, and a balancing on all levels of consciousness for your highest good. and also a blessing to know more and more that you really are loved as a child of God. To come back into that innocence, that light, and that playfulness that we all have as children and that child inside that wants to play, that wants to be loved, that wants to have fun. And now just take a deep breath in. And if there's anything else, just let it go. Take another deep breath in. Just inhale the loving. And just breathe naturally and normally. And when you're ready, you can just bring your awareness back into where you're sitting or lying. And you can just open your eyes and bring yourself present. So, really I started off by talking about being spiritual warriors and, you know, by coming back into our spiritual hearts, into that heart of the loving, the Christ consciousness. It's all about being a spiritual warrior. And I just wanted to give you a little information on what really is a spiritual warrior and what are some of the, you know, the qualities. And John Roger has a book. He has a book on everything. Spiritual Warrior, The Art of Spiritual Living. And also, he and Jesu Garcia have produced a wonderful film called The Spiritual Warrior. And the DVD is available at spiritualwarrior.com. And it's a wonderful movie that really shows you about levels of initiation and the journey of a soul and the transformation. So that's a wonderful film to watch. A warrior's sense of mission is clear, and his attention is impeccably focused on his goal, even in the face of emotional crisis, illness, conflicts with a spouse, a co-worker, a neighbor, or the person who just cut him off on the freeway. Even when confronted with adversity, the classic warrior holds fast to his values and principles. But while most warriors march off to subdue a perceived enemy, spiritual warriors follow a different path, marching into their own innermost center. They strive to perfect the internal discipline that will keep them attuned to God, or spirit if you prefer that term, as they journey through the world. Three qualities are especially vital to the spiritual warrior: intention, impeccability, and ruthlessness. Intention is the direction we want to travel. Spiritual warriors make sure their intention is very clear, because what we put out into the world is what we get back. If your intention is to be loving and caring, you cannot let anything that is not loving or caring come into your field of action. Impeccability is, quite simply, using our energy wisely and purposefully. Whoa, got over that one. Impeccability is quite simply using our energy wisely and purposefully, conserving and directing it so that we align ourselves with spirit. From this spiritual alignment emerges clarity about eternal reality and freedom from the binding nature of the physical world. Ruthlessness is the spiritual warrior's sword of truth, the sword of the heart, which cuts away all that is no longer necessary or useful. Spiritual warriors do not accept just anything and everything, but are ruthless about ridding themselves of limitations and addictions, the habitual, unproductive behaviors of the past. They are open to the world, not shut off from it. They don't ask to control it, but accept it as it is, and seek inner guidance in order to respond to it in ways that are aligned with their highest intentions. They know that the fears, aggravations, and confusions of life aren't accidental. Instead, our souls can take advantage of the particular opportunities they offer, opportunities to learn, grow, and share. Life is not a matter of avoiding the tough lessons, but of extracting all we can from them for the advancement of our spiritual selves. the difference between a spiritual warrior and a lot of other people who wander around waiting for success or love or abundance to happen to them is that the spiritual warrior acts, not reacts. And just a little thing on what the biggest thing that blocks us from being spiritual warriors is negative thinking, playing the victim, holding on to hurts, complaining, all are contracted states that move us away from awareness. The number one enemy of the spiritual warrior is resistance. It's the ultimate contracted state which produces discord, disease, and violence. When we resist our own divine nature, we commit an act of violence against ourselves. Ironically, when we resist our dark nature, it's also an act of violence. For people seeking a path of awareness, resistance can become either a stepping stone or a stumbling block. And you can't overcome resistance by resisting it. So the spiritual warrior lives life spontaneously, constantly letting go. The ordinary person wants to justify things. They want recognition for what they accomplish, and they want to blame someone for what doesn't go right. They can't find a reason, they will make a reason. And that reason in their minds will always be perfect. If that reason is refuted, they will find another to take its place. So here's the key. Forget your reasons. They will always be perfect. They don't mean anything. Reasons keep us in a contracted state. You do not need to justify your life. Just live. Be spontaneous and do what your heart prompts you to do. You do not have to wait for numerous things to fall into place in order to relax. Just relax. Someone doesn't have to make you laugh. Just laugh. How simple that is. And yet we won't do it because we have all the reasons not to. Ultimately, the way to expand is to simply to let go of resistance. Isn't that beautiful? Well, when you think of that little meditation we did, you know, you can do that at any time and any place. You can just take that little opportunity to go within and to let go. Do it before you go to bed at night. Just let go. It's, you know, life has its challenges enough. We don't need to keep bringing more of what we've done in the past into today or to tomorrow. Just let it all go. And, it's good. Let it go. Enough. Let's just declare it all enough and just place our lives into the Christ so that we have grace and ease. Now, I just wanted to let you know that if you have any questions at all, of things that have come up that you don't understand or whatever, there will be times when I will be taking questions that you can email me. My email is relationshiprevelations@gmail.com. If you go into the schedule on the bbsradio.com, which is where you're listening to this, and go to the 10 o'clock slot, Los Angeles, Relationship Revelations with me, Sheila Grace Harvey, and click onto it, you will get onto my website there, which is still being put together, but it does have my email address. So if you have any questions or need any assistance, let me know. And I will be putting up some future guests that we're looking at having on the show, one of which who in September the 13th will be John Morton, who talking about his You Are the Blessings book. And if you have any questions for him about how to find blessings in your life, then please email me. To finish tonight or today, as I am still in today, you're in tonight in Los Angeles and in America, but in different parts of the world, I just want to finish off with a JR quote from the Way Out book. And just so you know, if you're interested in anything more about John Roger, John Morton, any of the books that I have been quoting from, then you can go to msia.org and you will be able to find all that information. So love is the key to awakening to the spirit within. Sometimes you don't even know when you're asleep, the spiritual sense. It takes discernment to recognize the level of your enlightenment and then seek out those who can show you the next level. That part that is awake is the soul. It never sleeps. It is a constant state of pure awareness. The mind sleeps, the emotions sleep, the body sleeps. As you realize this, You wonder if you're really as great as you sometimes think you are. You're not great in the sense of your ego, but in the soul you are far greater than you think you are. Thoughts cannot conceive the greatness of the soul. You can't find the majesty of the soul in science books or math books. You may not even be able to consciously look and find a key that awakens something inside of you a little more than before. So all you can do is let go and say, it's beyond my mental ability. Be with those people who are lifting to spirit. Let them share with you. But realize that each person's way is special for that person. Don't compare levels of what you call spirituality. Sit and listen and support each person with your love and your joy for them. Then move back to your own truth, to your own work, to your own beingness. Within you is the kingdom of God. You have the key. As you awaken more fully to the consciousness of God, you find that there is no love or lover. There is only the beloved. God bless you. Take care. Beresh Beshem.